Today is the feast of the Holy Name of Jesus. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, "Ye princes of the people and ancients, hear. If we this day are examined concerning the good deed done unto the infirm man, by what means he hath been made whole, be it known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God hath risen from the dead, even by him this man standeth here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved." Please stand for today's Holy Gospel, which is taken from the second chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished, that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus are the words of today's most holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend in heaven, on earth, and in hell. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So please pardon my voice today. I'm losing my voice, but hopefully I'll be able to finish the sermon anyway. These words then, which come from the Apostle St. Paul, show us then the importance and the power of the holy name of our blessed Lord. In the epistle used for today's Mass, we hear then St. Peter telling the leaders of the Jewish people that it is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that caused the healing of this man spoken of in today's gospel. He also then says at the very end that it is this name, the name of Jesus Christ, whereby men must be saved. This name is given to men, and it is through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that men will be saved. Indeed then, our Lord is given to men as their Savior. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world in order to save mankind. The fact then that an angel was sent from Almighty God, he was sent from heaven as a messenger in order to give this name specifically to the Blessed Virgin Mary. At the Annunciation, she was told the name which she was to call her child. This name came from Almighty God, and it was given to our Blessed Mother by the angel Gabriel. And so we see the importance of this name. And so Holy Mother of the Church obviously sees the importance of honoring this name. And this is why, of course, we have this feast, which is instituted for today. The second of January is the feast, but it's always normally the Sunday following the circumcision, as long as it is between the second and fifth. So today, in fact, it happens to be the second, which is, in fact, the day assigned for the feast. And so we see then that it is this name that all men must bow down. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his name, every knee shall bend in heaven, on earth, and in hell. Our Lord then is indeed the Savior of mankind. We are told in the Gospel of St. Luke, which is taken for the reading at Christmas, it says, "On this day in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you." This was the message which was given by the angels to the shepherds who were out in the field watching their flocks. The angels appeared to them to tell them that the Savior had been born, that they should go to Bethlehem and to worship the child which they would find lying in the manger, lying in the feeding trough. In fact, that is what the word manger in fact means. Okay, we give it a nice name of manger, but in fact it is the feeding trough. It is the trough from which the animals ate. This is where our Lord, this was his only bed. Rather than laying on the ground, this is the only place that the Blessed Virgin Mary was able to put the child, in the feeding trough. So we see this great humility then on the part of our Blessed Lord. Of course, our Blessed Lord is the one Savior, the only one indeed who is merited in the proper sense to have the name of Jesus. A Savior, of course, is someone who delivers their life for another person. They give up their life to deliver others from some sort of evil. to shelter them from some sort of harm. And so our Lord, of course, certainly did this for all of mankind by giving himself upon the cross. He offers not only simply something which is temporal, something which is temporary, but of course the salvation which he offers men is eternal. It is not some kind of earthly, as other earthly people who have come and maybe been called a savior of their people, you know, leaders who have come along and raised up to deliver their people from some oppression. Our Lord came to deliver mankind from sin, to deliver them to eternal salvation in heaven. And so our Lord indeed delivers men from all sorts of evils. Our Lord indeed came to save all men, but unfortunately, of course, not every man is going to be saved. Unfortunately, the modern church has lost this idea. They talk about universal salvation. We're all going to heaven. It doesn't matter which religion we belong to and so forth. But we know this is not the case. Our Lord did. Certainly his sacrifice on Calvary was sufficient to save every single human being. There's no doubt about that. But, of course, as human beings, we must cooperate. We must do our part. Our Lord does not do everything for us. And so the people who would reject our blessed Lord, who would refuse to follow him, they follow their own way. Unfortunately, then, they're not going to be saved. The Jewish people, of course, were expecting the Messiah. But unfortunately, when our Lord came, we see what happened. They rejected him. They refused. They had the scriptures. They knew in the Old Testament. They had the Old Testament prophets who told them all the prophecies of the Messiah. The scribes and Pharisees certainly knew all of these prophecies. And they could see in our blessed Lord that he had fulfilled every single one of these. And yet, we see that they reject our blessed Lord because, of course, they were looking for a temporal Messiah. They wanted someone who was going to deliver them from the burden of the Romans. The Romans had conquered them, of course. They were under the Roman rule and they no longer had their freedom. And so they wanted someone to deliver them from this rule of the Romans. So they were looking for a temporal Messiah. They were not looking for someone who was going to lead them to a kingdom out of this world, some other world. They wanted an earthly king. They wanted someone who was going to free them. And so they missed the boat, unfortunately. They refused. They rejected our blessed Lord. They did not see that he was the Messiah, the true Messiah. They rejected him. And of course, then our Lord still founded the church, of course. But we see then from the words of St. Paul that they had not comprehended the Messiah, in fact. That he was going to come to save mankind and not just the Jewish nation, not just to be a deliverer of the Jews, okay, but he was coming to save all mankind. St. Paul then teaches us that our blessed Lord was to be a universal Savior. He shows us then that before the time of Christ's coming, there were, in fact, two camps. You had, on one hand, you had the Jews. On the other hand, you had the Gentiles. They were divided again by a wall of partition. St. Paul speaks of this. There was this wall of partition separating the nations before the coming of our blessed Lord. It was indeed our Lord who was to come and to throw down this wall. He was going to come and he was going to invite every man into the church, no matter what nation they were from, no matter what their origin was, no matter what their creed, no matter what their origin, their race. Our Lord was going to welcome them into the church. As long as they followed his teachings, they embraced his teachings, they joined the Catholic Church, everyone is welcome. And so he was coming to save all men, not just the Jews, but Jew and Gentile, okay, Greek and Roman, slave or a free man, all these things that St. Paul speaks about. Okay, our Lord came indeed to welcome all men into the church. And he was indeed, as St. Paul speaks again, he is that cornerstone which was rejected by the Jews, of course. It was a stumbling block to them, but it was to be the foundation of the church. Our Lord was coming to establish the Catholic Church. He was going to welcome all men into the church. Indeed, then, our Lord came to save us from every evil. And, of course, we can reduce all evils indeed to one, of course, which is, of course, sin. We die, all the other evils we have come about because of sin. Okay? Wicked evilness came into the world because of sin. Adam and Eve were in the state of justification. They were in the garden. They had all the preternatural gifts that came from God. They were in sanctifying grace. And what brought evil into the world? It was their sin. They refused to follow our Lord's commands. They refused to do what he had obliged them. Eat from every other tree, but not from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what did they do? They chose, of course, they wanted this knowledge of good and evil. The devil tempted them, of course. They followed his temptation. They gave in to this temptation. And by sinning, of course, all the evil came into this world. And so our Lord was coming to deliver us from all these evils. He was going to die on the cross. He was going to establish the church to give us then the remedy, of course, for all this evil, which, of course, is the grace. This victory of our Lord gained, of course, victory over sin. This victory of his was indeed a double victory because, of course, by his cross, he overcame sin, but of course he also overcame death. By his glorious resurrection, we too will rise again. Okay, we're not going to die for all eternity. We're going to rise. Our body is going to rise again to life at the last resurrection, at the final resurrection, and our body will be joined with our soul for all eternity. Okay, either for good in heaven to enjoy the rewards of our work here on this earth, or of course to be punished in hell. Because of our misdeeds, because we have not followed our blessed Lord. And so this victory over sin has produced its fruits then in all holy souls. Anyone who is cooperating with the grace of Christ, the grace is there. The grace of our blessed Lord is there to assist us. Okay? By calling upon his holy name, he descends upon us in grace. He gives us his graces. He gives us strength. He strengthens our will to fight against these various temptations. Our Lord indeed is the Savior of each and every one of us. This victory of death, of course, is only complete at this point in time, of course, for our Blessed Mother, because, of course, only she is in heaven with her body. Okay, our Blessed Lord, of course, has his body as he rose from the dead, but our Blessed Mother is the only one now who is able to receive this complete reward for our Blessed Lord's victory over sin. The saints, of course, are in heaven. They're in the beatific vision, but they do not have their bodies yet. They will only receive these bodies on the last day of this world and at the general resurrection. Finally, then, we can see that our Lord meets the last requirement of being a Savior because he saved all people once and for all. So it is not only a temporary Savior, but is once and for all. There is no need now for another Savior. Our Lord has won the victory, even if we cannot see these fruits now in our own life at this very moment, because we're still living, we have not died, we have not received that reward in heaven. Okay? Our Lord's graces are there. They are assisting us each and every day. There is no need for us to fear. Our Lord has promised us that if we're faithful to him, that we shall rise glorious with him on the last day. Our bodies will rise up and be rewarded in heaven. We know this. Our Lord has promised us this, and certainly he will not deceive us. He is Almighty God, and he cannot tell lies. He is truth itself. And of course, to tell a lie would be to contradict himself. Okay, and he cannot do this. Our Lord cannot contradict himself. This would bring about his own destruction, and he would not do this. My dear faithful, let us then take advantage of this holy name which has been given to us, this holy name of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, and let us work to eradicate from our own lives then all of these sins, which of course is the only thing which will separate us from our blessed Lord. Nothing else will separate us from God. It is only mortal sin which drives our Lord from our soul. And so we must work to eradicate these sins from our daily lives. We indeed let us call to mind then often our blessed Lord's name, because of course those who devoutly use our blessed Lord's name, they certainly give great joy and glory to Almighty God. This is a name which he himself has given to his Son. And so by using this name piously and devoutly, we are giving glory to Almighty God. Obviously, we also receive many graces. Those who call upon our blessed Lord's name will certainly not be left without help. Our Lord will give grace to those who call upon his name. In times of temptation, call upon our Lord's name. He will give us the grace we need to stand firm. And thirdly, then, we can also help, of course, the holy souls in purgatory by devoutly calling upon our Lord's name, we can obtain graces for them. We can help to obtain their release from their sufferings in purgatory. And obviously they will certainly be eternally grateful for our help, and they will intercede for us when they do reach the heavenly kingdom. Let us also try to make reparation for those who misuse our Lord's name. Obviously, unfortunately, in the modern world today, our blessed Lord's name is very often used as a curse word, as a swearing. Okay? People use it in a proper way, okay? Using it blasphemously or in swearing. And so we must try to make reparation for this. When we hear people say things, obviously we can pray to our Lord. We can, obviously, if we can correct them without making the situation worse, then we should do so. Okay? If we know that the person is only going to blaspheme all the more, well, then the best thing for us to do is then to ourselves. We make reparation. We pray to our Lord immediately, trying to make reparation for these sins which others are committing. And obviously we pray for these souls so they understand that they cannot use our Lord's name in such a way. And let us work then finally to overcome our faults. Okay? We must, as I said yesterday, we must take advantage of this new year. We must become saints. So let us resolve then to frequently call upon our Lord's name, to ask his assistance, to help us, so that indeed we can become saints, and indeed our Lord can reward us then with eternal life in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.